I'm turning this morning to the first letter of Peter. The first letter of Peter and chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and I read verse 18. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18. One verse for our consideration this morning. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. My title is The Just for the Unjust. Here is Christ, the just one. And here is you and me, the unjust ones. He is the righteous one. We are the unrighteous ones. So the just for, in the place of, in the stead of. That's what Christ has done for sinners. Now, just a few words really of introduction before we look at the verse. I believe this is one of the most concise verses in the Bible. One of the most concise verses in the Bible about the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Concise in terms of his atonement, concise in terms of his redemption. All the facts are here. All the facts are here. His life, his mission, his purpose, his death on the cross of Calvary, but also his power, his resurrection, his exaltation. It's all here, his glorification, just in one verse. But he tells us everything we need to know in order to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Why he came in this world. If somebody asks you, why did Jesus Christ came into this world? Or to put the question another way, what did he come to do? What did he come to do? What for? Or if you prefer, we can also ask the question in another way. How can I secure the forgiveness of God upon my life? How can I obtain God's favor? Oh, you know, God is. We shall one day all stand before him. So what should I say on that day? How would I be covered on that day? How would I be forgiven on that day? My dear friends, all these questions are answered in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But I want to draw your attention just on 6 very simple things. Really, I want to keep them as simple as possible so that you can even remember them after you leave this service. And especially if you are outside the kingdom of God, if you are still unconverted, if you are not a Christian according to the Bible, oh, my desire and my praise is that these simple things will speak to your soul. Please look what Christ has fulfilled on behalf of sinners. It's all here. But look at verse 18 again. The first thing I put before you is this. Christ suffered. Christ suffered. Our verse opens with the word Christ. Christ. Look in verse 15. He's qualified there to be the Lord. The Lord. Who is this Christ? Just a nobody? No, he's the Lord. He's the King of Kings. And remember, Christ is his title of dignity, of majesty. That's the meaning. It's not his surname. It's his office. It's his title. Jesus Christ. The anointed one, the special one, the chosen one, the selected one. But you see, there is something added there. We are told that Christ suffered. He suffered. But this is, I believe, again, the most unfair suffering ever that has ever happened in this world. But it is also the greatest good forever happening to our world. The greatest unfair suffering, but the greatest good for millions and millions on this earth. But we need to explain that. When it says Christ suffered, this is not just a man suffering. It's not a mere man, but this is Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the promised Messiah. He's the promised prophet. Hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the prophets, the priests, and the king of the Old Testament, they all said, one day God is going to send his chosen one, his anointed one, and this anointed one is going to suffer. He's going to suffer on behalf of sinners. Christ suffered. My dear friends, I don't want to catch any sentiment or even get your feelings on this. But may I just say one thing before I come to the second help? No man has ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. Or sometimes when we are going through trials and troubles and suffering, we think this is the end of the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ, no man who has ever lived in this world has suffered like this man. You know how he's described in Isaiah? In Isaiah, we read that he's the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So the first help to your soul, Christ, the anointed one, the promised prophet of God, suffered. But look, number two in the verse. It's not just he suffered. We are told also that he was put to death. Because you can suffer without dying. But the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died. And he died a violent death. A violent death. Not of old age. Not of an accident. People didn't hang him up to die. It was not by the guillotine. It was not by drowning. He was not shot dead by a bullet. Christ didn't die of illness. Christ didn't die as a martyr. Some people are misled. Christ didn't die as a victim. He didn't die as a martyr, not as a victim, but as the victor, as the conqueror, as the warrior. He died a violent death because the verse says he was put to death. He was put to death. But his death, we have to understand it again. His death was not accidental. It was not accidental. All happened according to the plan of God. In Acts chapter 2, we read that it was according to the ordained sovereign plan of God before, and at least a thousand years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, God already said that this man will come and will be hanged on a cross. And on that cross, he will take upon himself the sins of every repenting sinner. It was an ordained death. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Christ died according to the scriptures, and he rose again according to the scriptures. But here we are told being put to death in the flesh. Because again, there are people who are saying that, no, Christ died just in the spirit. No, he died not only in the spirit. His spirit was, he gave up the ghost, he gave up the spirit, but he died bodily, in his own body, in the flesh. He suffered in the flesh. You remember what happened there in Jerusalem? The mob, the crowd, they were crying out, "Crucify, crucify." That's what they said. That's what they said, the people. Oh, even with Peter. Who is Peter? I'm sure you remember who is Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Christ and Peter said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." But immediately after the Lord Jesus Christ, after Peter made that confession, Christ told them that he's going to be delivered in the hands of the Gentiles and he's going to die. You remember what Peter said? "Never, never, let it never be to thee, Lord." And even Christ had to qualify him and rebuke him, "Behind me, Satan. Your words or your thoughts are not the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of men." Do you understand that? The crowd cried out, "Crucify, crucify." But even Peter, at least I can show you, even when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ there in the Garden of Gethsemane, still Peter didn't understand. He had to cut the ear of Malchus, the man, the soldier who came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to defend the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to stop him from going to the cross of Calvary. Oh, even there, you can see the Lord Jesus Christ repaired the mistake of Peter. He healed that soldier. He repairs our mistakes daily. He restores us. But now, Peter as an apostle, since Pentecost, since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he understood that without the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no remission of sin. And this is so important. He was put to death in the flesh. He died as a man, but God as God cannot die. We have to understand that. He died in his body as the perfect man, but being God, God cannot die. He is immortal. He is invisible. He is unchanging and unchangeable. That's the Christ who is on the cross here and who was put to death for our sins. There is something I want us to understand before I come to the third help. So help number one, Christ, the anointed one, suffered. Help number two, he died, but he died a violent death. It was a curse to die on the cross. It was an ignominy to die on the cross. When somebody dies on the cross, then you become a pariah, a nobody, and you are stripping of everything. But we have to understand, we are not saved by his life. We are not saved by his teaching. We are not saved even by his miracles. We are only saved by his death. That blood we read in Acts chapter 20 is the blood of God. The blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of God. And we read in 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins, if you trust in him. The blood of Jesus Christ. And he died, he offered himself willingly on the cross of Calvary. I was brought up as a child with animals, but I have never seen an animal with sheep, donkeys, camels, and cows. I have never seen an animal who willingly goes to the slaughters. You have to drag him or to drag it. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not dragged. He went to the cross of Calvary willingly. My dear friends, life dies for dying man to obtain life. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Life is immortal. Life never dies. God never dies. God is giver of life. He's life giver. But in Jesus Christ, he came into this world. Life dies for you and me to obtain life. All of us, no matter what is your age, we come into this world to live. We want to live. And I have witnessed many, many people dying in hospitals as a pastor. I have witnessed those things. But I guarantee you, even to the last breath, the person still wants to cleave to life. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come to live here. You and me, we come to live. But he came to die. My dear friends, I wish I can tell you more. But this verse, as I said, tells us everything. All the facts are here. But look at number three again in the verse. Christ went to the cross of Calvary willingly. And the third one, oh, never overlook, never underestimate that small word there. He died once. Once. The Catholic Church every Sunday crucifies Jesus again at the Mass. He's offered every Lord's Day again and again. But that's a big heresy. It's a big lie. Once for all. Once for all event. Once for all time. Once, not never to be repeated again. Once for all. If later you want to have an evidence of it, just take the letter to the Hebrews and you will meet so many times, once for all, once for all. He did it once. He died once on the cross of Calvary. Job done and well done. Job done and well done. Men put him to death, but he was quickened from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Again, I need to explain this to you. Christ was risen from the dead by the power of the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but by his own power. He has power to give his life, and he has power to take it back. It makes my heart to thrill, to rejoice. The grave, Christ was a great morsel. He was too big to be contained in a grave. He fills heaven and earth. How can a grave contain him? He was quickened from the dead, once for all, never to die again. He was stronger than death. The ones here, I believe, is vital for you and me. You know, life, look at your life. Every day we have an endless repetitive cycle. Every day, the same things, you keep repeating them. But when it comes to your salvation and my salvation, Christ offered himself once for all. Once for all. And that is, I believe, so important. One single act and offering and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ made you and me. If you trust in him, if you repent from all your sins, believing on his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, I guarantee you, as an ordinary preacher, that your sins will be forgiven. He said so, and Christ will always keep his promises. My dear friends, his death is crucial. No wonder many religions deny the crucifixion. They deny the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read, Christ died and rose again on the third day. You see the precision? Very precise. Greek historians, Roman historians, Jewish historians, they all said that Jesus Christ died and was risen from the dead. Do you remember We read in the Gospel of Matthew that when the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead in the city of Jerusalem, the tombs were opened and people were raised from the dead, and they entered in the city of Jerusalem and people saw them. The power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, Christ suffered. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. Number two, he died. He died a violent death. Number three, he died once for all. I could have added another point there about his resurrection, but it is included. We believe that Christ didn't remain on the cross. He was risen from the dead. But look at the four help I want to give you. In verse 18, he died for sins in plural, not just sin in singular, but for sins in plural. This is our main problem. This is the problem of every one of us. No matter what is your nationality, your color, our problem is sin. May I tell you, What is according to the Bible, the definition of sin? Sin is lawlessness. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is rebellion. We have rebelled. We are rebels. And we have waged a war against our Maker. And each one of us, my dear friends, you and me have said, we don't want this man Jesus to rule over us. That is sin. We are sinners all around, from head to toe. From head to toe, the head is sick, the body is sick, the feet are also sick. And the worst is that we have bitten the hand that feeds us. Whatever we have in this life was procured to us by God. But we said we don't want him. We are the captains of our own lives. Oh, what a big sin we have committed. My dear friend, it is because of sin that God became a man. If there was no sin, Christ would never come in this world. But because of sin, he came, he became a man. God became a man. The two natures of Christ, he is God, he is man. Two distinct natures, inseparable. That is our Savior, pierced and nailed for our sins. My dear friends, our guilt was so heavy, our guilt was so great and so immense that only a divine person could come and move and remove the mountain of our sins. Only a divine person could come and remove the mountain of our sins. And Christ did it. Now, I must tell you the fifth one. Look at it. The just for the unjust. I think just reading that expression makes my heart to jump. Because at the cross of Calvary, there was a sweet transaction, a great transaction, a divine transaction. You should be on that cross. I should be on that cross. But he said to the Father, Father, I will go to that cross. I will take the punishment. See that man, see that woman. I'm ready to go and die for them on the cross of Calvary. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He is the only just one. One just one. There is only one perfect one. I hear people often say, Nobody is perfect. Wrong. Here is one. Here is one who is perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. I hear people saying nobody was risen from the dead to tell us how it is in heaven. Oh, here is one. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came from heaven. He was risen from the dead and he went back to heaven because heaven is his abode and he can tell us how heaven looks like. There is one perfect one. There is one who came back from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in him, there is no sin. There is no imparted sin. There is no deed of sin. There is no thought of sin. But you and me, millions, you know, every one of us, every day, you have 16,000 thoughts coming to your mind. 16,000 thoughts just come into your minds, and most of them are filthy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, not one single evil thought. Him who knew no sin, but what do we know? Us, we know only sin. That's the only thing we know. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, him who knew no sin became sin for us so that he may cover us with the righteousness of God. All that the Lord Jesus Christ did it. The righteous dying for the guilty ones. And he told us in the Gospels that he came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. That's what he came to do in coming into this world. My dear friends, why can't I just jump and go to God? Why can't I just stand now and go to the living God? Oh, I give you the answer. The answer is very simple. You cannot just decide and jump to go to God now because there is an abyssal chasm between God and you. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to remove that gap. He came to remove that chasm. And only the blood of Jesus Christ is the prescription to cure our problem of sin. No one else. And this is why the verse tells us the just for the unjust. Are you a sinner? Of course you are. Of course I am. Then your identity, you are the unjust one. You are the unrighteous one. And Jesus Christ is the just one. And Jesus Christ is the righteous one. And Jesus Christ is the faithful one. And he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. My dear friends, in order to be the just one, in order to be righteous one before God, you need to see your spiritual bankruptcy. You need to see your moral deficiency. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I see it. I don't need even a preacher to tell me because day after day, my life is miserable. I'm totally deficient in terms, why can't I do good? Why can't I love anyone except myself? Lord, be merciful unto me, a wretched sinner. And then, and only then, you can say, Jesus Christ died for me. Number one, Christ suffered. Is that a help to your soul this morning? Christ suffered. Number two, he died a violent death. The death of the cross of Calvary. Number three, he died once for all and he was risen from the dead. No other guru, no other prophet of the religions of this world has ever risen from the dead. Number four, he died for sins, our sins. We are the sinners. And it was a sweet transaction, a divine transaction. The just for the unjust us. But let me close. There is something there I don't want you to miss. And this is wonderful. I hope this will help you. If you are still, if you have never fell and knee down before the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that this will be a help to your soul, because this is so important. The verse says that he might bring us to God. Do you see the purpose? Do you see the purpose? Special purpose, special reason, specific reason that led the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary, that he may bring you. If he has to come to bring you, where were you then? Where were you then? It means you are far away, million miles away, dead in your sins and trespasses. That's us, my dear friends, completely dead in our sins. Oh, we couldn't just one morning wake up and say, I will go to God. He had to come so that we might come to him. My dear friends, in closing, no human king, no human queen, no priest, no imam, no pope, no pastor, no church, no religion is able to bring you to God. They all say, yes, they all say, come, I will bring you to God. But that is the prerogative of only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. Why did he come into this world? To bring you and me to God. No one could lead us to God, but Christ died to bring us to God by his hand, individually, one by one. One by one. Oh, that is sweet, I think. He takes you by the hand. He inclines your heart to believe in him. The Holy Spirit comes in you. You have a new nature. You have a new heart. Your sins are forgiven. God now can hear your prayers. Is that not tremendous? Is that not good news to your soul? Oh, it is indeed. To bring you to God is the first step before you get to heaven. He must bring you first to God before you get to heaven. You must come to him. But one last thing. The word bring is a special Greek word there. I tell you very simply what it means. The word speaks about an official person who grants audience to the king. The word bring there is like a word of protocol to give you audience to the king. And Christ is in charge. He came to seek and to find that which was lost. And him introduces you to God. He takes you to God. And as you know, the nobilities, the notabilities of this world, the great people, even the small ones of this world, after an hour, they have enough of you. But the word here, when Christ brings you to God, you stay permanently there. He will keep you. God will be in you and God will be with you. So he's in charge. And he will look after you. He will protect you. He will give you that permanent audience with God. Come to Christ, the mediator. He provided the reconciliation. He provided the forgiveness of sins. Come to him in repentance and faith. I read for you the verse again as I close. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the power of thy word. We thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his atoning death. We thank thee for his resurrection. O Lord, if anyone among us this morning has never sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that this verse will be his warrant verse to come to thee in repentance and faith and find everlasting life. We ask these blessings in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.